Now joining us, he is our Wednesday regular, Shane O'Brien. How's it going, Obi?
Good, boys. How you doing?
We're fantastic. So I don't know if you heard, but Darcy Hordichuk had a pretty good chirp for you last week.
Yeah, I heard. Obviously saw it come across Twitter, sorry, and I actually texted you boys, see what he said, and told the story about Akelina. And yeah, it was like my first or second week in Vancouver. I was still living at the Sutton Place Hotel. I was just getting to know the city, getting to know the boys. You know, we were out and about making our rounds, and we ended up at the Roxy, and sure enough, he was there, and he came up and started talking to me, and I actually, like, just kind of big-leagued him a little bit and walked away, and like an hour later or half an hour later, well, he finally told me, he's like, hey, I hope you know that's one of the guys. And I was like, what? I'm like, thanks for the heads up, Welly. You could have told me that 40 minutes ago when he was still in the bar, so I could have went to apologize, but it wasn't the best start to my Canucks career, that's for sure.
Yeah, you thought your Canucks career was over at that point, eh?
I was a bit surprised if I got traded the next week. Yeah, I was like, I better not. I was like, I stopped looking for apartment buildings. I'm like, I better just wait a couple weeks here and let the dust settle a bit.
So Horty mentioned that you had a meeting with Mike Gillis the next day. Is that true?
I don't think I had a meeting the next day with Mike. I had a few meetings with Mike throughout my tenure as a Canuck, but I don't think I had one.
Okay.
The next day, so I think Horty was just trying to probably make the story a little bit better.
Okay.
In typical Hordichuk style, he likes to over-exaggerate some things, but no, Horty's a beauty, and yeah, that was definitely, the next day I went to the rink and I was talking like Willie Mitchell and Goose and Luongo. I'm like, boys, you think I'm in some serious trouble here? And they just got a good chuckle out of it, but I was concerned for a few days. I called my agent and everything. It was It's funny now, but at the time, it wasn't that funny.
He is Shane O'Brien. He joins us. Follow him on Twitter, at Shane O'Brien 55, at Shane O'Brien 5 on Instagram. We're actually watching Elias Pettersson speak on Tim and Sid right now, and we've been talking about him today as well. Hasn't really had the same pop, the same jump lately. Is the rookie wall a real thing, or is it a fabricated media thing?
No, it's definitely a real thing. You know, after playing in Europe for a couple of years, you know, don't get me wrong, the leagues over there are great, especially the Swedish Elite League. It's one of the best, if not the best league over there, besides maybe the KHL. But it's different. You know, you only play two games a week over there. It's usually on the weekends. You get your weeks, you know, to kind of practice and recover. And, you know, listen, he's played a lot of minutes for the Canucks. He's come in and done an unbelievable job, which we all know, but you know, sometimes we forget he's still a kid. He's not the biggest kid either, so I'm sure he's tired physically and mentally. And to play 82 games in the NHL, you know, even if you've been hurt, I know he's been hurt, but it's a long season. I'm sure it's catching up to him a bit.
Well, Pettersson, yeah, he hasn't been able to score to the same pace that he had earlier this year. But Brock Besser's another guy that's some people are saying, hey, what's going on with this guy right now? Is it a confidence thing? Is it something that's simply, you know, tired, a lot of heavy lifting? When you watch him play, what do you see in Brock Besser's game right now?
Yeah, it's just the same thing. I think it's just been a long year for him, and you know, obviously he's in his second year in the league, but got hurt last year near the end and didn't get a full season in. So you know, the Canucks have had some tight battles all year long. They've had some injuries that they had to battle through. They always seem that every game they play is a tight, close game, and it's just the grind of the season. They're in the, you know, the dog days of the season right now. You know, the playoffs aren't looking good for them, but they're still in it mathematically, obviously. And they just got to find a way to recharge the batteries and dig in here and give it everything they have down the stretch.
Is it, I mean, it feels like they've slipped out of that playoff conversation.
Yeah.
We've already started talking about that. How do you think they're talking about that in the room?
Yeah, it's tough. And you know, they were playing so well probably a month ago or heading to the All-Star break, and they were right in the mix of it in the final wild card spot. And, you know, people asked me if I thought they were going to make it. And, you know, obviously I wanted them to. And I just thought, you know, with their, you know, inexperienced and young squad that they would probably come up short. And it looks like they will. But, you know, I still think they've had a good year. And they're playing some meaningful hockey games. And I think that's important for these kids, that even if you miss the playoffs, continue to dig, continue to play hard and treat these games like playoff games. And that will help you moving forward as an organization and as a young core of the guys they have there.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by our Wednesday regular, Shane O'Brien, former Vancouver Canuck. Shane, the Leafs are in town. The evil empire, as we like to call it now. I'm going to start calling that anyways. If you look at this team right now, they beat Calgary. There was a lot of fans in the crowd in Calgary. If you're a player on the ice and the opposing team's fans are kind of taking over the building, or at least 50-50, 60-40, whatever it may be, how do you feel as a player? Do you feel a little disrespected?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm in that Canucks dressing room getting ready to play the Leafs, I would take it extremely personal tonight or when they play. I mean, just obviously there's going to be tons of Leaf fans in their barn, but, you know, I'd like to see guys like Roussel and Beagle, you know, get in there against them and just play physical against them. I mean, obviously they're a super skilled team, but every time I see a team play the Leafs, I just wish they'd play a little bit more physical, get in their face, and make guys like Mitch Marner earn their ice a little bit more. I know it's hard. The kid's super skilled and have an unbelievable year, but hopefully the Canucks can get in there and, you know, make it real hard on them to play in Vancouver.
I don't know if you've seen the Leafs' fourth line that they'll be trotting out there tonight, Obi, but
I think
the tallest guy is 5'8". It's not your prototypical fourth line. What do you make of it?
No, I mean, you know, when I watch the Leafs play this, and they're skilled, they're fast, but I just think they're so soft. And, you know, I think come playoff time, especially if they play the Bees in the first round, you know, it's definitely going to test their character and their determination and their physical attributes of the team, just because I think they're just a little too soft to do any damage in the playoffs. But I have watched their fourth line. They can fly. That Moore kid, he has some serious jump, and Ennis is playing well for them. So they have four lines that can all play, and they're a really good team, don't get me wrong. I just think they're a little soft.
Now, what did you make of the whole John Tavares standing ovation thing after he got booed out of the building against the Islanders?
I've been talking, I was talking to my boy Connolly before. You know, he was shooting all day, but after his tweet, he had like 25 radio shows want to talk to him and this and that. I said to Cons, I said, how are these fans going to react? And he said, it could get ugly, bro. And man, was it ugly. They showed no mercy on him. So I thought what the Leafs fan did for Tavares, giving him a standing ovation, making him feel at home, was pretty classy, because that was probably a tough situation for him to go back to Long Island and take the abuse he did. So good for Leafs Nation.
I was kind of thinking from John Tavares' point of view, though. Like, at some point, the player's just like, all right, guys, enough. Like, I don't want to be the center of attention. Let's get over this. Like, as the player, you know, hockey players generally shy away from that sort of attention anyways. So you think John Tavares is just like, yeah, I don't need the standing ovation.
Yeah, you know what, Randy? I don't know him personally, but from what I've heard, he's probably like that. He seems to be a pretty down-to-earth, quiet kind of guy that just wants to go out there and play hockey. And I mean, he's having an unbelievable year, so I'm sure from his perspective, he's like, enough's enough. Let's just move on here and start focusing on the last stretch of games here and into the playoffs. But it was pretty ugly there in Long Island. They were pretty ruthless. So I thought it was cool by the Leafs fans to give him a standing ovation and let them know that they appreciate that he did leave Long Island and is going to be a Leaf for a long time.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Shane O'Brien. Shane, Ryan Kessler was on the station a little bit earlier today, and he made some comments about how he'd left Vancouver, and he looks back at, you know, what happened. He understands why people maybe, you know, still boom to this day in Vancouver. So he understands, but he kind of tried to rationalize why he left Vancouver. It seems like he's kind of getting that retirement kind of tour ready. He's starting to explain himself. Do you think Vancouver fans should at some point forgive Ryan Kessler for leaving on bad terms?
Yeah, and you know, obviously Kess is going to play in 1,000 games here. I think they played tonight or tomorrow. I think it's tonight. So, I mean, that's unbelievable. The way he played the game, he played both ends of the ice. He battled, face-offs. He never took nights off. You know, obviously the way he left Vancouver probably wasn't the way he wanted to at the time. But, you know, they made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and lost. So, you know, I saw a quote from him today that every time he went back to Rogers Arena, that's all he could think about. So that would probably wear on you a bit. And he won another chance to win the Stanley Cup. So, you can't blame a guy for that, and I'm sure the people of Vancouver will realize what Ryan Kessler did for him and how he played night in and night out. Kessler was a warrior, man. He played the right way, and I loved having him on my team.
Yeah, and he's hit that 1,000-game plateau. How do you it's been a tough couple of years for him, but he's still battling. What do you make of Kessler and what he is right now and where he's headed?
Yeah, you know what? I feel a little bit bad for him. You know, I do watch the Ducks a little bit down here in Orange County, obviously. And you could just see with his hip that he can't move like he used to. And obviously the game's different. You know, Kess was more of a kind of get in your face and give you a little chip and whack here. And you can't really do that anymore. But You know, he's still battling. He's still competing. You can see he can't skate like he once did, but, you know, Father Time's undefeated. And, you know, for Kess to play 1,000 games, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to play a few more years. But, you know, he's had a great run.
Obi, we appreciate the time. As always, we'll see you up here in Vancouver soon, yeah?
Yeah, I'm coming at the end of the month, so looking forward to seeing you boys.
Sportsnet 650.